And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. We're here to help you get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous. I'm Jo Stanley and I'm joined by medical herbalist and pharmacist Gerald Quigley.
Good morning, Jo.
And nutritionist and chef Zoe Bingley-Pullen. Hello, Zoe.
Good morning, Gerald and Jo.
Morning, Zoe.
Well, we have a very special show for you today. It is dedicated entirely to bringing clear, accurate and calm information regarding coronavirus, which obviously it's a story and a global crisis that continues unabated. This week, the World Health Organization declared the outbreak a global pandemic. And on the House of Wellness, we've done our best to deliver an appropriate degree of communication on the subject. And we know that it's changing day to day, but it's clear, I think, that many of us in the community, and I include myself in this, we're uncertain as to how to respond, you know, in particular the possibility of self-isolation, what to do if you think you may have symptoms, how to care for our most vulnerable in our lives and in our community, and what does it mean if our school or our workplace closes? I mean, there are just so many questions.
The difficulty is, Joe and Zoe, is that every single person's got their own story. So you may have school-aged children, as you two do. I have grandchildren. I have a mum in low care. I have a mother-in-law who lives, but they get out and they do all sorts of things. So every single person is looking for some sort of guidance that really we can base some planning on. And this will be a great show.
And I think, I mean, when we don't answer those questions, that's when we throw up this world of curiosity. It's interesting because I just came back from overseas and what I was quite surprised, and I was vigilant. I had my mask, I had my sanitizer, I had my wipes, and I actually walked through the Australian airport. None of the customs had a mask. Everyone seemed quite relaxed. So I think for me and for a lot of my patients out there is that it's that miscommunication. Communication. What is it that we should be doing it and what is it we shouldn't be doing? Give us some answers. So I'm excited by this, you know, today's radio, just to kind of get down to the detail.
Absolutely. So we have decided to devote most of this week's show, in fact, all of this week's show, to the subject. And we are so fortunate to have Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal, former president of the Australian Medical Association. And he's well known to the general public as a go-to level-headed medical practitioner to help answer some of your questions. And we really encourage you to call with all of your questions. He's here to discuss the coronavirus, self-isolation, how it might impact your health. Have you had coronavirus and recovered? We'd love to hear from you. 131873. What's been your experience with testing? I think there's a lot of concern in the community around that. Please do give us a call, 131873, with any question that you may have of Dr. Mukesh, because we really want to alleviate any worries that you may have. Of course, in and around that conversation, GQ, we have the A to Z of vitamins today.
We'll be looking at some immune support today, Joe, and the jury's out as to whether this is really important, but I think it's fundamentally important for both food, which Zoe can help with, and there are certain identified herbs and nutrients that we need to focus on.
Immunity, absolutely crucial at this time. And yes, Gerald mentioned you there, Zoe, with food. What do we do if we're planning our meals for potential self-isolation? You're going to tell us later on how we can eat nutritiously. Is that a word? I don't know.
Nutritionally.
Nutritionally. At this time, even though we are in self-isolation.
There is so much that you can do. I mean, just being a little bit of a planner is a really long way to actually do this.
Yes, and we'll be hearing from Dr. Michael Cargred, psychologist, who can help us out with the anxiousness around all of this uncertainty that I think a lot of us are feeling. That's our show today. And, of course, we're reaching you right around the country in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth. So wherever you are, give us a call, 131873. Next up, Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal answering your questions here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Don't let the flu ruin your plans this year. Get in early and help protect yourself with the flu immunisation available at Chemist Warehouse. The quadrivalent vaccine helps protect against four strains of influenza. However, it can take several weeks to take full effect. So be a flu fighter and help protect yourself by booking your appointment now. It's quick, convenient and affordable. Plus, you don't need to bring in a script. The prescription and administration are provided in-store by a qualified health professional. This year, the quadrivalent strain vaccine is $14.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Be a flu fighter and get the flu immunisation from Chemist Warehouse. Book now at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu. Chemist Warehouse, lowest prices every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Book your flu shot today at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu for $14.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness, your one-hour, one-stop shop to all things health and wellness. And in particular today, we've devoted the show to bringing you as much practical information as possible regarding the coronavirus, because we know that it's a global crisis that seems to be increasing. It's raised many questions and created much uncertainty within many parts of our community, especially with the possibility of self-isolation coming up this week. So as the situation is changing constantly, we are so grateful for the time of Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal, former president of the Australian Medical Association, to discuss this further and take your questions. So do give us a call, 131 873 with your questions. Welcome, Dr. Mukesh.
Thank you. Good morning.
It is so lovely to have your expertise here with us. You're a GP with a very active clinic here in Melbourne, and you're at the forefront of trying to respond to the coronavirus. Can you explain to us why is this virus different to the flu and other viruses that we are confronted with every year?
It's a really good question, and sometimes it's hard to put it into a nutshell. But basically, if you see the pictures from China when this first started, or you see the pictures of people in Iran where people falling in the street with the virus, or now even in Italy, if there is a large volume of people with this virus that are affected badly by it, the demand on the hospital system would not be able to be managed. In particular, the demand on high-level intensive care beds, respirators. So from that side of things, our hospitals are starting to gear up with trying to buy more gear, get more people. My younger people in that area are getting ready to understand how to treat people, how to roster each other, how to minimise the demands on them. So if we have this thing that doesn't, and we do nothing, we have this massive peak of people, and no way known ever, that we'll be able to treat them in the hospital.
Mm.
If we do what we're trying to do, and we're seeing this has been gradually ramping up, and we've seen it across the country where things are, across the world, where countries are being quote-unquote shut down, we're reducing the exposure risk, reducing the transmission risk, because people are therefore isolating the disease, people with disease, and minimising the risk by keeping people apart, in particular from travellers, but now it goes beyond travellers. It means that you are slowing down the number of cases. So if you do get those things that need really significant treatment, you've actually got some chance of managing the load.
Dr. Haikerwal, thank you so much for joining us today. I have a six-year-old child, and we were at a birthday party yesterday, and one of the questions that kept being asked is how much hygiene should we be imparting in our children? And the other question, obviously, I've got her birthday coming up next week as well, and the idea of isolating her as well. So how important do you think it is for us to self-isolate? And what can we do to mitigate the risk when it comes to children? Because children like to put their fingers up noses totally. And everywhere else.
Yep. Look, I think that the question really, if I can go back a step really, is about that whole healthiness, wellness, keeping immunity up, keeping sleeping well, eating well, and doing all the right things to keep your health well. That's number one. If you're going for not talking about going to a birthday party, but if you're coming to a practice like ours, we've upped the ante because we've had to. We ask a specific set of questions for people before they come in to reduce risks on other people in the practice, other providers in the practice, the rest of my staff, and also to give the right advice. So somebody actually comes in that might have it the way that they're treated is different to a person who hasn't got that. So we've got to be working out who may have it. And if they have, don't turn up. Mm. You know, if you've got runny eyes, runny nose, sore throat, big glands, feeling horrible, don't go out. But if you haven't, and you haven't travelled, you haven't had contact with people who have travelled, your risk is much lower. So if you do that and, you know, do this, what's called this social spacing, you can reduce the risk. You never exclude the risk, but you take a calculated risk. I'll have my party. I won't have more than 500 people there.
Okay. Yes. Thank God for that.
And don't let the kids come if they're unwell, is the answer. Yes. Gerald.
Mukesh, how important, and it would be great just to get maybe four or five key points from you as to where we are now, bearing in mind there's been total confusion from health departments in different states. How important is individual responsibility to this? We're expecting governments to do everything, but where do we stand from an individual perspective?
Look, I think we've seen from great examples from the bushfires and previous disasters we've had across the country every season, that, you know, as a nation, when something goes wrong, we get together, we hang together, and we help each other out, and we don't go off and demolish the stores. We make sure people get their food supplies. We make sure that we call in our neighbours, and so on. So all those things are still important, no more, no less. And so, yes, we continue that spirit of community and work with others to make sure that they stay well, we stay well. And so that's why you socially isolate. You've got runny eyes, runny nose, sore throat, and you're in a bad place. Or you reach out and, you know, support people around you. So I think that's right. And government really, yes, it's been very difficult as a medical practitioner working in Victoria today to get sane, sensible advice. So my organisation, I'm still involved. I'm a gold medalist with the AMA. I also am a medalist with of the College of GPs. So, you know, I work with these people every day. The important thing is we have one hymn sheet, one song, and we actually then know where we're going.
Well, we have been inundated with calls, and it'd be great to speak with one right now. Hello, Angela. What is your question for Dr. Mukesh?
Good morning. I have three quickies. Number one, when people are wearing masks, how often should you change them?
So the issue about wearing masks...
A lot of people don't know. Yeah,
the issue about masks is any point in wearing one anyway. So if you came to my practice and you were ready, you know, I couldn't catch up with you and by video, and I couldn't treat you in the car park to get your swabs because you needed it, I would put a mask on you as you came in then, mainly to protect me from what you're chucking out. And if I was going to, if I then decided that I needed to take this further, I would not just wear a mask, I would wear a full gown. Okay. Walking the street doesn't make an awful lot of difference. In a hospital situation, you might need to have more time, more changes. But, you know, I would get the advice about where to use it and when, and I wouldn't wear it just because you can.
Thank you, Angela. I'm sorry, we really only take one call per person or one question per person today because there's so many questions. We'll have many more of your calls in just a moment. That's next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Prepare for the winter season with ethical nutrients, Immusorb Immune Defence from Chemist Warehouse. With its unique combination of echinacea, zinc, turmeric and high-strength andrographis, it helps to fight and reduce the severity of the 7 symptoms of cold and flu. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. If symptoms persist, talk to your health professional. At Chemist Warehouse, ethical nutrients, Immusorb Immune Defence, 60 tablets are just $25.47. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day. Every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Book your flu shot today at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu for $14.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley, and with me is Gerald Quigley and Zoe Bingley-Pullen. And we're here thanks to Chemist Warehouse, and we're very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal this morning, who's answering all of your questions with regard to the coronavirus. Give us a call, 131-873. Perhaps you're already in self-isolation. You have questions there. Perhaps you've actually had coronavirus and recovered. We'd love to hear from you. If you need assistance in caring for yourselves and others, do give us a call. Dr. Mukesh, we have so many questions. Shall we push on and get to Anne in Victoria? Hello, Anne.
Good morning. How are you?
What's your question for Dr. Mukesh?
I'm lying in bed with flu-like symptoms, and my family are encouraging me to go and get tested, but I don't want to go and stand in a line and wait
to be
tested, and I feel the way that I feel. And then there's a confusion around, if you've got a cold, don't get tested. If you have flu-like symptoms, I mean, it's so confusing. What do I do?
Thanks, Anne. I think in this situation, I like your approach. Stay in bed, stay away from everybody else. If you're not feeling better in the morning, call your doctor, your GP, and they will suggest to you a timeline where you'd continue what you would normally do with a cold or a flu, where you drink lots of fluids, have the right nutrients, you make sure that you're keeping yourself as healthy as you can, lots of fluids to flush stuff through, keep your temperature down, etc. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse, then you may need to talk to your doctor. They may want to talk to you face-to-face with a video or on a phone. Or if you then need to go in and you haven't got risk of having coronavirus, you will not need to be tested, but you need to be treated for your coldy, flu-y bug. Mm-hmm. And that's different. Mm-hmm. And if you do need to be treated, tested, they'll organise that for mm-hmm. you. But don't do anything different at this stage, but if you're getting worse, that's when the issues start.
We've had lots of calls, Mukesh, of people who are saying, I've got a cough but no temperature, or I feel like I have a temperature but these symptoms aren't presenting for me. What is the first step? Is it to call your GP and they'll speak with you over the phone?
I think that you can get advice from the GP, which is really your central point of contact. There's lots of information you can get from pharmacies too. There's lots of stuff you can get online. And I think that's really important to get some information, because you'll find that calls are getting very hard to come by because everyone's inundated. Mm. We had 200 calls on Tuesday, for instance, and it's like that as well as an all-day's work. But it is important to get the information, make sure that you follow up. So if somebody says, you know, call back in 3 days, don't wait 3 days if you're getting worse. Call earlier. Yeah. Mm. But you know, if you're getting better, don't call back because you're getting better, which is great. Mm.
And I suppose be aware of what kind of strain there is on all of our health professionals mm-hmm. at the moment, and mm. perhaps step back and let those who are more chronically ill mm-hmm. take that time.
Everyone's important and you need to get your care, but it's actually okay to wait 12 hours, 24 hours, 48 hours, and if you're not getting better, then do the next step.
Kelly in Melbourne, you have a question for Dr. Mukesh.
Oh, good morning. My 3-year-old and 18-month-old have a swimming lesson tomorrow at a very public swimming pool. How safe is it for me to take them in the water?
That's a really good one. I mean, if the pool was full of people with coronavirus, obviously you wouldn't want to go because you can spread it with by droplet spread. But we don't know who's got anything, and therefore you're going to have to make a call about whether it's a safe thing to do. And, in fact, the pool operator will have to make a call about whether it's a safe place.
I'm surprised the pool is still open.
To bring people in. So, yes, it's not 500 people, but it's starting to become a higher risk environment, and even the social distancing may not afford you the right amount of space. So you may want to hang fire.
And Kelly, this was an interesting thing because my school actually cancelled the swimming. But what they also did say to us is to actually use that common approach, that common sense approach. You wouldn't send your child there if it had a cold in the first place. Mm. So I decided to, before that case happened, just not to take Emily to swimming.
Well, yes, which frankly is blessed relief as far as I'm concerned, not to have to take my daughter to swimming.
I kind of liked that response as well, I must admit.
Well, you are listening to the House of Wellness. In a moment, we'll take more of your calls, but also we're going to chat with psychologist Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, who has a few pointers to help us with the anxiousness that we might be feeling at this very challenging time. That's next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Don't let the flu ruin your plans this year. Get in early and help protect yourself with the flu immunisation available at Chemist Warehouse. The quadrivalent vaccine helps protect against four strains of influenza. However, it can take several weeks to take full effect. So be a flu fighter and help protect yourself by booking your appointment now. It's quick, convenient and affordable. Plus, you don't need to bring in a script. The prescription and administration are provided in-store by a qualified health professional. This year, the quadrivalent strain vaccine is $14.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Be a flu fighter and get the flu immunisation from Chemist Warehouse. Book now at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu. Chemist Warehouse, lowest prices every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Book your flu shot today at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu for $14.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
And welcome back to the House of Wellness, where health and wellness is our passion. We are very fortunate to be joined by Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal, who's here answering all your questions with regard to coronavirus. And do give us a call, 131 873. We'll get to more of those calls in a moment. But we also wanted to acknowledge that while we're doing everything we can to remain physically well and to protect the health of others, it's important to consider our mental health as well. And I'm including myself in this as we manage the uncertainty that the coronavirus brings, as well as the social isolation and, for many, possibly great financial strain. I think it's a time of great anxiousness. So we're glad to have psychologist Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, who specialises in corporate mental health, families, parenting, children and adolescents, join us on the line. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, all.
Oh, it's so lovely to hear your voice. You are always super helpful, I find. Michael, it seems there's a lot of bad news surrounding us in every headline that you read. Is it normal for that to impact on our general sense of feeling happy or safe?
Yeah, look, I think we're very used to things going relatively smoothly. We don't do disruption or trauma. Thinking about my father, who was alive and well on the 7th of September 1940 when the Germans bombed London for 57 nights in a row, and that was a real disruption. Mm. So this is milder, but we're still not used to it.
Mm. Michael, I think that's where you've hit the nail on the head, isn't it? We've never had anything like this happen to us before. I've got a six-year-old child, and often I do talk about Emily, and what I'm trying to work out is how do I communicate this to her? Because I think it's important to know the realities of life and teach her how to be resilient, but also to kind of shelter her at the same time. How do I communicate that to a little one?
Well, not talking about something can actually make, I think, kids worry more.
Yeah, particularly when they're hearing it everywhere.
Yeah, I look at this as an opportunity to convey the facts and really set the emotional tone. You need to make sure your kids are informed. But it's really back to the alert, not alarmed.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I'm reassuring my children that most people only get a mild illness. Mm-hmm. And fully recover within a few weeks, that children themselves very rarely seem to get it, that pets are going to be okay, because that's the sort of stuff, believe it or not, they worry about.
Yeah, my little girl asked about our two cats.
Yeah, and last to explain all the hard work that Mukesh and his colleagues are putting in to keep us safe and go from there. That's my advice.
No, thank you.
Michael, Gerald Quigley here, and it sounds like you're on a jog, which is terrific.
Yes, I love it.
Yes, that's practicing what you preach, Michael. We've mentioned, Zoe's mentioned children, but on the other side of the equation are people who are older, who have been through some of these dramas before, but this is a new drama, and it's media-driven in a lot of instances, and how do we reassure them, those of us who are dependents of that older generation? A couple of suggestions?
Look, I think the most important thing is to give them the capacity to keep themselves safe. You can't control what's happening in the larger environment, so I would advise those people to focus on things like, how can I protect myself? Talk about hand hygiene, coughing etiquette, not touching your face, elbow taps instead of handshakes, and just to make sure they understand that this isn't going to go on forever, that viruses have a way of burning themselves out, and it's really important to give them some hope.
Good.
Yeah, so in and around that, I mean, we want to try and establish calm in our community. How do we spread that? How do we spread kindness amongst people when we're seeing so much panic in our supermarkets? And, you know, people seem to be very fearful.
They are, and I think we are a little lemming-like, because if we see everybody buying toilet paper, we think that we need to do the same thing, when in fact there is no supply problem with toilet paper and it doesn't relate to the illness. So there's some pretty bizarre behaviour.
Yes.
But I just think we need to make sure that we listen to the reassuring voices of our public health officials and that we reiterate those. This is a very inconvenient occurrence. It will impact on people in the short term, but we've been through this before. And human beings have a habit of pulling together at times of crisis and finding solutions to what at the time seemed really difficult problems. And I think we all need to remind ourselves of that.
Mm. And I would recommend maybe just stay off your social media if you're finding yourself a little anxious. Don't read all the headlines. You don't need to do that every day. Mm. And instead, go and put a little note in your neighbour's letterbox and say, hey, I'm here for you. If you're here for me, let's reach out for each other.
And do as Michael's doing, get out for a walk, because that boosts your immune system.
Well, thank you.
It's a run, actually, and I've paused it especially for you guys.
Sure, Michael.
No need to boast, but thank you so much. Great to chat with you, Michael. You have a great morning.
See you guys. Bye.
We continue to take your calls with all your questions of Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal. And we have Val. Good morning, Val.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Mukesh.
Yeah.
I have a question, but I was just thinking we should probably use hand sanitizer every time we handle money. I haven't heard that.
Mm. Well, you know, there's multiple ways you can transmit this. And the touching stuff is because when you touch things... everyone keeps talking about, you end up touching your face. That's what we do. We,
yes.
You know, comb up, brush our hair. It's just a natural reaction. So
yes.
Absolutely, yes. Touching money is an important way that this could potentially be spread. We've seen people using credit cards. The pay wave is really useful because it means you don't have to physically do that. So there are many ways you can transmit, but there's also many ways you can reduce the risk.
Mm. I think washing your hands when you... arrive and when you leave anywhere. Yes. That's my.
It's respectful.
Yes, I quite like it. It's a new thing for me.
Certainly, providing hand sanitizer everywhere is also very useful too.
Betty has given us a call. Hi there, Betty. Oh no, we've lost Betty. Jan, hello, Jan. You've got a question for Dr. Mukesh. Hello, Jan. Oh, we've lost Jan. Lovely music though.
Yes, we're on Jan's on hold.
All right, well, we're going to take a break and we'll have more of your calls next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Prepare for the winter season with ethical nutrients Immusorb Immune Defence from Chemist Warehouse with its unique combination of echinacea, zinc, turmeric and high-strength andrographis. Gerald, I have trouble with this. Andrographis. It helps to fight and reduce the severity of the 7 symptoms of cold and flu. Always read the label. Follow the directions for use. If symptoms persist, talk to your health professional. At Chemist Warehouse, ethical nutrients Immusorb Immune Defence. 60 tablets are just $25.47. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Book your flu shot today at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu for $14.99. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. We're here to help you feel and look great and to ensure you are as informed as possible, especially at this time of global health crisis. Dr. Mukesh Haikerwal, thank you so much for spending this hour with us. We continue to have lots of calls. Richard, in Victoria, what is your question?
Dr. Haikerwal, from a OH&S perspective as an employer, if one person is self-isolating, what should I do for the remainder of the staff?
Again, this is a fantastic question, and this is one that's come up every single session of every single day since this thing's been going on. And people's protocols are changing at work. So if someone, the protocol is, if you've travelled overseas, if you've got a coldy flu bug, if you've got the symptoms, don't come into work. If you've been like that, you know, do you actually then ask the rest of the staff to self-isolate? I think what you can do is de-stress your organisation by reducing the number of people in the workplace. If you can work from home, that's an important thing to do, and we see more and more people doing that. If you can check with people as they're coming in and do a self-assessment that they've not got symptoms, they're not unwell, they've not been unwell, not been in contact with anybody like that, or travel, then it's actually relatively safe for them to be in whilst we're allowed to have people in the workplace. To require a certificate that they've been tested is not reasonable. To require a certificate that they've had a consultation and that they've been deemed to be okay to work, that's probably okay. Because we haven't got the testing kits to test every single employee of every single employer. So in terms of self-isolation, obviously somebody's been in touch with someone who's proven to be COVID positive, then you would isolate them. If they've got those symptoms and they're fit to work, then that's okay. If you can do that from home, so much the better. And if you feel that there is a risk because that person was in a very close environment and has got a very high risk, then yes, that's what's going to have to happen. In our practice, if we have a room, someone that's been tested in a room, we have to shut that room down. The danger is, and we've seen this in a practice in Toorak, where one of my colleagues unfortunately got infected, they shut the practice down. So there are difficult decisions to be made.
Mm-hmm. So, Mikesh, if I am in a house with someone who is unwell with coronavirus, I'm to assume that I'm not safe. Yes. How do I avoid getting sick?
Well, if you're in the house with someone with coronavirus, this isolation thing is really important. Or the risk of coronavirus, the risk is there. It's really hard in a house where you maybe only have one bathroom, maybe one kitchen and so on. So the way in which you organise food, hygiene and so on is important. So washing the toilets down, washing the bathroom down, keeping hands clean and dry, and also maybe using gloves and things becomes important. If the person is infected and you're going near them, they might need to wear a mask, but that's the only time you do it.
Helen, in New South Wales, you have a very pertinent question that I think a lot of people want to know. Helen?
Yes.
What's your question?
My question is, if you're on the trains or in public places, do you still wear a mask?
So in one of the things in the public space is that we will not see so many people in such a concentrated way. I believe that will change. But, you know, actually wearing a mask doesn't actually protect you in that situation. I think that the important thing to do is, if you're not well, not to travel. If people are making a calculated risk in public transport, then that they need to be aware of it. It's like any other travel, that there's a risk in travelling because you don't know who's in the train, in the plane, on the bus. You've got to keep your distance from people. And unfortunately, that's all you can do. The most important thing is hand hygiene, so you don't touch the rails of the bus and then put it in your face, and that you don't get the droplet spread as well if people are around in the place.
While we are self-isolating, we, of course, would like to look after our nutrition as best as possible, but we're limited perhaps to frozen foods or canned foods. Zoe, can you give us an insight into, just very quickly, what we can do to look after our nutrition at that time, to support our immunity?
The good thing is that there are some really good frozen and tinned foods out there these days. So if you can look at frozen vegetables and fruits, I think that's completely fine. I think what we also want to look at is the salt-reduced options. Same with our tinned. If you can veer towards organic, you are going to get a slightly more nutrient-dense food, as well as something that's often got a lower sodium content. Remember, nuts and seeds, they are the powerhouse of good nutrition. They have all the good fats in there. They have protein. They have good forms of carbohydrates. So put them into different foods. And obviously we want to make foods flavoursome as well as boosting their nutrition. So if you can use things like turmeric, garlic, ginger, dried herbs, an easy thing to do is to rehydrate those dry herbs with a little bit of water or olive oil, and lots of things like raw honey in your diet, manuka honey in your diet. And if you have bought things like salads and fresh herbs, put them in a plastic bag with a little bit of water. What this will do is keep them healthier for longer. And a really simple recipe that I have and I freeze is a tomato, walnut and chickpea stew. It's very simple. I use extra virgin olive oil, a little bit of onion. Remember, root vegetables and onion last a long time. Tin of chickpeas, tin of tomato, I blend some almonds, and I put in a little bit of water as well, and you can freeze that for a long time overall.
Amazing. That's super helpful. Thank you, Zoe. And obviously, Gerald, at this time we want to boost our immunity. Are there things we should be taking for that?
Sure. And there's no magic solution, Joe, but there are some things that have been positively identified. And we talked about self-isolation. And one thing we don't understand is immune function, our inbuilt resistance to giving the best opportunity to stay as well. And there's a lot of evidence supporting your favourite herb, Joe, andrographis.
Andrographis,
and,
I love
and
it.
And you put some echinacea in there as well. zinc is an antiviral. These sorts of things, and turmeric was mentioned before, all these things are available, and what they do is just help build your resistance. And it's important to look at those things. So get some advice from your pharmacist.
Yes, the A to Z of vitamins is brought to us by Ethical Nutrients Immusorb Immune Defence. We have time for one or two more quick calls. Betty, good morning.
Good morning.
What's your question for Dr. Mikesh?
Yes, in a fortnight I'm travelling to Queensland with a friend for a short holiday. I'm in my late 70s and I'm just wondering, I just don't know whether we should go or not, how safe it is to travel. And what's your general opinion?
What do you think, Mikesh?
It's now the interesting question for local travel. So international travel's obviously been frowned upon, I guess, because of the dangers of leaving the country and not necessarily being able to get back in again. Local travel, we've seen some universities and some states saying no local travel. We know that the danger is for people who are quote-unquote older, and that's not 70s, 80s, 90s, it's 50s, 60s, 70s. And we know that the social spacing thing is really important in that space. So if you are in robust health, there should be no particular problems if you're going on to a transport where people are being quizzed and make sure they're able to self-declare that they're okay to go on to that transport. When you're in Queensland, of course, you'll be coming into flu season. Will get free flu vaccines if they've got chronic diseases and so on. And that's important to get. I mean, I think everybody should get flu vaccine free. And flu vaccine is the most important single thing you can do to reduce the flu season. COVID was big in China in flu season, and that's where the whole thing's worse. So we've got our flu season coming and COVID, so we've got to deal with both. We need to get our flu vaccines up there. So generally, you have to take the advice of your the agent you're travelling with. But at this moment in time, as long as everyone's doing the right thing, you should be okay to travel. But I think that might well change as we bring down the curtains on that.
Dr. Mikesh, we're going into a week where we may be given advice. We're not sure what, but largely it will be to self-isolate and to social isolation. Can you give us just succinctly what that looks like? How much of a gathering should we stay away from? Or are we just locking ourselves in our home and that's it for how long?
It's really hard. And I have no written evidence from anybody about what we're supposed to do. I had the funny situation of coming back to Australia as a doctor without a yellow fever vaccine and I had to self-isolate. Which the chief medical officer that day had a laugh about it. And it basically means you stay in your home and you don't actually travel and you don't have interaction with other people. If you, in the household, it's already too late.
Right. So if you can avoid it, do not interact with other people. That's what we're looking at.
Yes.
Well, it's a pretty extreme time.
Well, what a morning, Jo.
It is.
Fantastic to have you on board.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mikesh Haikawal. We recommend that you check out our website, houseofwellness.com.au, for any more information. There are some great websites out there as well, health.gov.au. Check that out. If you're looking for some great viewing today, make sure you check out the House of Wellness on Channel 7 today at midday, of course. Thank you so much, Zoe.
Thank you, guys. Great to talk to you. And thank you, Dr. Hyde.
Thank you, Gerald. Thank you. Check out houseofwellness.com.au. Thanks again to our friends at Chemist Warehouse, and we will see you all next week.